Welcome, I'm Lana. Thanks for tuning in. So Japan has always been a nationalist, homogenous country. And because of it, it's been one of the most peaceful and prosperous countries on Earth. But now globalists are eyeing it, dying to get their claws into Japan. My guest Yoko Mata is going to fill us in on the current state of politics in Japan. Yoko, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're our first Japanese guest, so this is very exciting. I'm glad to have you here.
Yeah.
Now, Yoko Ono, I'm sure you get that a lot, right, from English-speaking people. What do you think about that?
Well, I have mixed feelings about it. She's a liberal.
Yeah, that is true. So tell us about your YouTube channel. I know you like to get into politics and history. You have a popular channel in Japanese, of course, but now you've started up in English. Tell us about what you cover on your channels.
Well, yes, I used to talk about Japanese politics only, and my audience used to be Japanese people. But now, last year I started to, or was it 2015? President Trump became the candidate for the election, and I started to have interest in American politics through him, and then I started to talk about American politics, and then I started to gain some followers from the U.S., and I started to focus on the relationship between Japan and the U.S., and that's what I talk about now.
Now, what was it about Trump that you really liked that stood out?
It was his... I don't know, when he became the news here first in Japan, it was his comment on the Japan-US alliance and also the nuclear weapon, nuclear weapon possession by Japan. He said something like, oh, Japan should protect itself or something like that, and we were cheering hearing that.
Yeah, of course. It's funny how that's something so basic and we get all excited when a politician says that, you know? Yay, yeah, you have a right to exist as a nation and control your own nation. Yay! It's like shocking when someone says that anymore. Now, you also wrote a book. Now, you have to help me pronounce this. It's on the subject of patriotism called Shin Eikokun? How do I say that? Okay, now tell us about the book.
It's actually a compilation of my videos in Japanese on Japanese matters, and it talks about how I became interested in politics and the political thoughts or historical views that I have, and I also wrote down the assignments our goals, and also featured my English songs that I wrote.
Yeah, that's right. You play the piano. I was listening to a couple of those videos the other day. That's nice.
Thank you.
Now, I spent 3 months in Kyoto. I lived there when I was a teenager with my mom. And I was really impressed because it was really clean. It was really safe and quiet. And I'd say of all the Asian countries, you guys are by far the most polite. You respect lines. You know, you're very orderly. I also was impressed by they had beer in the vending machines.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, you just get Sapporo, like a huge Sapporo in the vending machine. But yes, kids weren't going crazy abusing that. Also, the big, massive video game arcades. I mean, you have these amazing games. It's very futuristic. And I liked all the kind of futuristic haircuts and colors lot of the Japanese people do. And another thing, too, is when you turn on the TV, I was shocked by, there's a lot of twisted cartoons. There's a lot of weird cartoons in Japan, isn't there? Like, whoa, like they let kids see this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're used to it. You're like, no big deal. And then, of course, I have to mention all the sea creatures, right? There's sea creatures you guys eat that I didn't even know existed.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
I can't even tell you, but I remember going into a grocery store. I was like, what is that? You know, some creatures like way deep down in the ocean, But you guys are really healthy as a people, right? You guys don't have high cancer rates and stuff, right?
Yeah, we get all kinds of nutrition. And
yeah, I even went to, what was it, a Denny's, you know, some bad American chain and, you know, breakfast place. And you can get omelets. And they had, you know, they brought me an omelet and there was some kind of eyes looking back at me. And some kind of fish creature in the omelet. And I never forgot that. So.
Must have been shocking.
No, it's great. So, you know, I was reading in an interview that you were talking about that you used to be actually quite anti-Japanese. Yeah. So tell us about this.
Well, I don't know where to begin, but when I was very little, I was not really anti-Japan, I guess, but probably starting like in adolescence age, is that what you call, like 15 years old or so, I started to study English, and that's when I started to listen to American music and so on, and then I gradually gained more and more interest towards American culture, and I realized, like, the more I praise the American culture or American people, I started to find faults in Japanese. Back then, I didn't know what difference makes in people, and I compared Japan with America and started to think that our culture or our race is inferior to America or something like that. And then, a couple of years ago, I started to have interest in the news or politics, and my views started to change.
Now, I thought Japan has always been very nationalistic, very much on the right. I mean, I really like that about Japan. I know a lot of nationalists, European nationalists, like that aspect about Japan. Now, is that changing? Is it not as nationalistic or as rightist as it's been known as?
The thing is that the majority of us are very, like, non-political. And I would say they are passively conservative. Because it's just our tradition. Like, if you are just living passively in your culture, you are most likely going to be a conservative person. And it's only the minority that are going very conservative or rightist. And I have a little hope that the younger generation is exposed to the internet and lots of information and starting to see the world as it is and, to talk to the people overseas like we are doing right now, and so that we will not go in like extremely right or left, and we can just focus on the real matters.
Now, I know, the West is really being infected with cultural Marxism, leftist brainwashing, liberalism. It's just gone insane in the West.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys getting any of that kind of programming in your schools and your media?
Yes, we have that a lot. And especially after the war, we were occupied by GHQ for 6 or 7 years. And during that time, they had this program called War Guilt Information Program, by which they imprint the guilt in your identity or your political views, whatever. And so the school, the media, everything became very anti-Japan and very liberal. And it's where all the bad things are coming from.
Now, you mentioned GHQ. Tell us about that. I don't know about it.
Oh, it's a general headquarters, I guess, in English. And it's after we lost the World War II, we were occupied by the winners, and mostly just America. And in America, it was the liberals who had the they were the government, so they had the power. So, they were imposing all the liberal ideas to, of course, they won the war, so they wanted to take the advantage. And so they, pretty much destroyed our business, like a local business and so on, and brought like big industry. And some people think it's a good thing, but others claim it's not. And lots of controversies were born, and we are still in the post-war regime, we say. And our current prime minister, named Shinzo Abe, he is a conservative, and he became a prime minister in 2006 or so. I don't remember correctly, but and at that time he said that, we are going to get out of this post-war regime, and he tried so hard, but because he went really darkly, just like Trump is doing right now, he got bashed so much from the left media and that regime and I mean that government ended right there, and he came back.
Yeah, so you mentioned World War II. Now, yes. As you know, Japanese, you know, they aligned with the Germans. They were fighting communism. Your Japanese ministers were welcomed with applause into National Socialist Germany. They were working together to fight communism. I think that this is a good thing, obviously. Now, a lot of the West, they view this as Japan's, you know, fascist past, right? And they decided to go against the globalists. So do you think that maybe a little bit of what happened afterwards is kind of some hostility, maybe a desire for revenge from a certain cabal against Japan for their alignment with Germany?
Yeah, you mean like, can you preface that?
Sure. Like globalist powers. Do you think there's been a lot of leftist globalist powers who have maybe come into Japan now and they're saying, oh, you know, because of Japan's past, they align with, you know, National Socialist Germany before, we have to prevent that now. So we need to program them with more leftism or more communism, if you will.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Like after the war, during the occupation, our teachers, our public servants, or the media, like the good people were all purged, and they were replaced with liberals or communists, and of course they are brainwashing people that way, and the Japanese Communist Party exists as a legally here, so they are brainwashing people.
Now, do you guys ever get hit with Holocaust programming or guilt that the Japanese actually aligned with Hitler? Do you ever get that kind of programming in school? I mean, we grew up learning about the Holocaust all the time, every day. Right now. Now, do you guys get that in Japan, too?
Well, yeah, I did when I was in junior high school. I actually remember watching the Holocaust documentary, taking like so many number of classes, like everyone watched how atrocious it was and everything in school, and some girls had to go to the bathroom, throwing up. Because it was that bad, and the education is so messed up here.
So give us an example of leftist programming or something that's anti-Japanese. Like, for instance, white people, we always have to hear about slavery and colonialism, segregation. We hear about it all the time. What are some things that Japanese people hear about that you guys are expected to feel guilty for?
There were a lot of historical disputes that are made up. So, like, you just mentioned the slavery, but, like, in Japan, there was no slavery. Like, we have no history of slavery it's interesting, but we just don't have that. But there is this historical dispute called Comfort Women Issue, and they say that, you know, the Japanese army were kidnapping the women from Korea and enslaving them for like a sex slaves.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's kind of that. With that, they are trying to say, or the Nanjing massacre, which we think is fake. They are saying that our army was really atrocious, and that's why we should hate them, and we should, you know, get rid of our pride and so on.
Oh, God, it makes me sad to hear this, you know, it makes me sad. I mean, I love Japan. I want Japan to be Japanese, you know, and I worry them like, oh, I think globalists really are eyeing Japan right now. Now I'm seeing articles popping up. When is Japan going to become multicultural? When is Japan going to take its, you know, share of migrants and everything? So tell us what's happening when it comes to immigration in Japan. Is there a lot of foreign immigration coming in?
Not right now, I guess, but they are gradually coming under the name of foreign students or some, you know, under like the training program by the companies, you know, that they just use like technical terms that we don't know, and others just claim like, oh, we do need immigrants for our economy and so on.
Which is not true. Japanese would be just fine.
Not true.
You guys are very, very successful. Your country's in order. You guys will be just fine without some foreigners coming in there. Now, I saw some footage and I heard about a lot of Muslims coming into Japan. Yeah. I know we have some footage we can hear. Now there's tension on the streets. Japan is usually, it's nonviolent, it's very calm, it's very peaceful. And now there's these brawls that are happening with Muslims in Japan. So what's happening? Yeah. Is this a growing population of Muslims? Is there mosques? What's happening?
Well, yeah, there are mosques. Like, I've even, like, visited one in Fukuoka, like, which is my hometown. But the thing is, there are lots of Muslims, and I am, like, after this, I am actually going to protest for a Muslim. Like, we are very close to Muslims, but the thing is that there are some, you know, people that are a little too radical, or, like, I don't know, like, in Japan, there are not radical people yet, but they are, some might come, and that's our concern.
Now, are you guys being told at all that you're racist for wanting to be Japanese, or to not take in a lot of immigrants? Do you ever hear that? I mean, as white people, we hear that all the time. We're racist if we don't want to open up the gates and let everyone come live in our countries. Do you hear that ever in Japan?
Yeah, that's the same here. So, yeah, if I just say, like, I'm proud of being Japanese or something, the left will always say, like, oh, you're racist, you know, like, I mean, and if I, or if we start talking about how Koreans or Chinese are committing crimes in Japan, they will call you that you're racist or something.
Yeah, what is the relationship in Japan now with the communist, you know, North Korea and China? Is it close, or what is that relationship like?
There are lots of different kinds of people in Japan. There are, of course, people like myself who are towards the conservative political view, but others are very left, and they also are good friends with China or North Korea, or they, I suppose, some are even working for them. And yeah, so there are some people that are working for them, and that's why the conservative people are trying to stop them. And if we say, like, oh, they are traitors and they're working for China or North Korea, they will call us racists.
Now, have you visited China at all?
No.
Gone over there?
No.
To see it? Yeah. My dad was actually born in China.
Oh, really?
No, I'm not Asian. You know, people have actually asked me that. I was like, do I look Asian? Yeah, he actually was born in Shanghai and has a Shanghai birth certificate. So.
Wow.
Yeah, because it was actually a lot of the Russians when they fled communism, you know, the Bolshevik Revolution, they went to China for a while. And then the Chinese were hunting them down and treating them awful and killing them. So then they had to leave from there, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, do you think Asians in general, do you think they're more prone to communism?
Prone.
Yeah, are they more likely to become communist based on their culture? Are they more, do you think they're more collectivist in nature?
Asian people?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're actually very opposing to communism. That we are, like, the majority of us are probably, like, we make much of family values and the local community and so on. So I don't think it can accept communism where people are equal, which doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's true, because even in China, even though it's communist, it's still very traditional in a lot of ways, isn't it? I mean, mm-hmm. there's still family values. I don't know if they have a lot of feminism there, like a feminist movement. Do they have something like that in Japan?
Feminism movement does exist, and
do they have like armpit hair and purple hair, and are they fat too? Like all the feminists in European countries, they're usually the ugly ones. You know?
Yeah, I agree. But the thing is, Japanese people are, like, our culture is actually very open, and we have tolerance, and so. There are lots of people who are not even political, but they just enjoy fashion and they go crazy and nobody stops them and so on. But there are some extreme leftists who will be naked, just like in the US. And, they even, like, these three leftist activists, they became naked and sat on the, in the Yasukuni Shrine, which is like a Arlington Cemetery for America.
Yeah, so what's up with that? What is up with always having to get naked? And then they're always the ones with the ugliest bodies, too, of course, that want to get naked. You know?
Terrible body.
Yeah, you know, we always hear, too, and I know that there's some Japanese writers in America who are left, and they're always writing about how sexist Japan is and how it's such a male-dominant culture, and now they don't let women in, they don't treat them well. So how do you respond to that?
It's interesting because people, I don't know why people want you to be the same as everybody else and want you to have the same equal rights, because we are different. You know, like, it's contradicting to me, like, when I think it's contradicting when liberals say that they want to embrace difference and they want to be equal, because if you appreciate the difference, for example, between men and women, and men and women are different and we have different roles and we are not going to be equal, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think most Japanese women, they probably love to be a wife. They probably love to keep the house. They probably don't want to have to go work, you know, 40 hours a week at some job, right?
Yeah. We just want to enjoy. Like, and I think that Japanese women are actually one of the happiest women on earth, because we are very spoiled. Like, we have the rights of, like, voting rights and everything. And at the same time, we can be treated as, like, women and, like, you don't have to pay for dinner. Like,
yeah, you can be feminine. Yeah, you can get to be a woman. Now, also, when you turn 20, it's a big deal in Japan, right? There's a huge festival about, when a woman turns 20 in particular. Tell us about that.
Oh, it's called the coming of age ceremony, and we, like, especially women wear kimono, like a traditional costume. And what we do, though, is actually not so a party thing. Like, it's, we just get together in a city hall or something and listen to the politicians or teachers and then just leave and then party afterwards.
Another thing that I think is good about Japanese culture is a lot of times I've traveled around the world and I always see Japanese people there taking pictures, you know, everywhere I went. But I noticed that before kids go to college, the parents try and send them to go travel around the world, which is really good because then they get to experience the world. And that's the kind of multiculturalism that I like, where you get to go travel and you get to see those countries, right? Not that they're all those people are coming and living with you in your country, right?
That's true, yeah. I agree.
Now, when it comes to multiculturalism, I mean, Japan is still very Buddhist, right? I mean, that's the dominant religion there, the spirituality, correct?
Yeah, the majority of us are Buddhists, but at the same time, we are Shintoists. Like, we, in Japan, somehow we don't stick to one religion. Like, we're not... Some people think we're not religious, but we are just religious to everything.
Yeah, so. Now, what do Japanese people think about the West? Do you guys ever talk about what's happening as far as Europe when you can see the, I call it the invasion, the migrant invasion, right? A lot of those aren't refugees. They're coming into Europe. It's mostly young men, you know, from Africa, the Middle East. Is Japan talking about that? What do they think, your average Japanese person, when they see that kind of stuff on the news?
Most non-political people will be just scared of all the terrorism and so on, but those who are interested in politics will think why this is happening, like, oh, it probably has something to do with the history, but all the, you know, they do all the analysis, and yeah, but we are seeing the world movement, you know, where the globalists have opened up the borders and the security, we don't have security anymore, and we do feel the danger that's even coming to Japan, that there are some leftists that want to open our borders and bring the immigrants. And I personally think that it's threatening because... in order to have a nation under control, you need to have something to unite people. But when lots of different people, like from you know, from different culture or different values, you're not going to be able to unite. It just doesn't work.
That is correct. Now, why do you think, you know, we talk about this all the time, but why do you think globalists want to have open borders? What do they think is going to come from that?
I'm not too sure, but I'm guessing that they are just obsessed with money, their own money, like their own benefits. Some politicians might just want votes from immigrants, and it's all like, I don't think that, what I know is that it's not going to help people, like the people that are already in the country.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, doing it for their own benefits.
Now, you guys do have a Muslim population, but there's no terrorism. I mean, we have lots of terrorism happening in our country. So how are they able to keep it out in Japan?
I think we are strict, very strict on refugees and so on, that we don't, there are lots of foreign students or workers, but we don't welcome refugees for some reason, and that's good. I guess that people are probably proud of that. So, and we are like in Japan. Of course, our culture or our society is diverse, and there are lots of foreigners and people with different religion and so on. But the percentage is very low. And when we think of Japan, we think of Japan as, you know, the Japanese people's country. And
of course,
I think that people are used to that, and I don't think people will want to change that.
Yeah, exactly. You guys don't get hit with diversity quotas, right? You're not being told, hey, you need to become more diverse. There's too many Japanese people here. You need to import in a bunch of, you know, whoever, Africans or whatever, right? You never hear that.
Yeah, we don't.
I mean, yeah, it's funny when we talk about it, but I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we as white people actually hear, you know? They'll come to somewhere like Sweden and say, like, there's too many white people here. I feel so uncomfortable. It's just amazing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you first caught my eye from this tweet, which I'm going to pull up here. This is how you came on my radar. You said, coming from Japan, it's so interesting to see the self-hatred of some white people, as a lot of us think white people are beautiful and great. So tell us what inspired this tweet.
On a daily basis, I follow the news from the US, and I just see, and I also check the comment section, especially on Twitter or Facebook or other social outlet. And I see lots of self-hatred in the white people, and I'm like, that's not going to do anything good for you or the society. Like, it's not how you make people happy.
Yeah, it's so sad. We've gotten propaganda basically on every level nowadays. From when kids are young, they're raised to feel guilty, to feel hatred. We're told that we're the only ones that can be racist, so we have to we have to make up for it. So we have to, you know, take care of and think of everyone else but ourselves. And it's really destroying our countries. It's really sad, you know. And our own white people can't see it. I mean, you're living in Japan and you see it. But our own white people that are here can't see it, because the programming is just so thick, and it's hard. Like, how do you wake those people up? And a lot of times it's sad, but white people, they don't listen to their own. They rather listen to someone like you. You know, they rather listen to a foreigner say these things, because then then it's not racist if you say it, right?
Yeah.
But if I say it, then it's racist. It's crazy. Another thing I see, a trend, and I want to know what your opinion is. A lot of white guys in the West, they complain about, you know, feminist women. And so they're dating a lot more Asian girls. Like, if you go to San Francisco, it's like all white guys and Asian girls. I'm serious. You know, so what do you think of that trend?
Wow, I used to like white guys too, but it's so, I don't know. It's sad, because people are being stereotypical, you know, that you shouldn't judge people by the race or the way they look. I don't know how to put it well.
And then, of course, us as nationalists, we're like, no, they should be having, you know, Japanese babies, or they should be having European babies. They should be preserving those things, I think, you know. Definitely.
Yeah. The problem that it's kind of problematic, but at the same time, you know, those white guys that go for Asian girls and vice versa, they are just similar, so they can just be together and enjoy themselves, I guess.
Yeah, it's true. I think there's always been a small percentage of the population that go with people of other races. I think that's always going to happen. I think nowadays, though, in the West, it's kind of different because we're getting programmed that it's better if we do that. Like, it's better if, you know, you as a white person get with someone who isn't white, you know, do it for world peace, you know, like, we hear that kind of stuff. It's ridiculous. So what else can you tell us about Japan? What else do you want people to know?
Well, I want the people to know that there are people like myself in Japan, like a lot of us, even though the percentage is very small, like compared to the whole picture. We are always gathering together and learning things, like, you know, we have experts, so we go listen to them, and also we try to get information from other foreign media outlets and so on. And what I know is that, you know, we, especially Japanese people, especially conservatives, used to think that America is our enemy because we fought against each other in the World War II. But it turns out that, or we learned that there were conflicts even inside of the U.S., just like right now. Like, for example, liberals and Trump side right now are battling so much, and it was happening before or after, during or after the World War II. And that's what we are starting to accept, you know, that there have been our allies in the U.S. And we are, so that's why we are starting to think that, oh, we need to cooperate with our natural allies in the U.S. or elsewhere, because it would be so stupid to make your allies into your enemies by your ignorance.
Yeah, it's good that you pick up on that. It's true, America is large, and there's a lot of different competing interests within our country. There's different tribal interests, and, you know, there's a small clique that really does control the government, and it's not really what the majority of people want. I mean, the majority of people wouldn't want to go bomb Japanese people. I mean, that's ridiculous, you know. Uh-huh. But exactly, there's globalist elitist influences that, you know, they create these wars because they profit from us. None of us profit from these wars. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, and actually, especially between Japan and the U.S., we are dealing with the enemies from the same roots, like the socialist flow from, I believe, is coming from Wilsonian age, the president back then. And that guy created lots of socialists, and their offsprings are now doing the bad in both of our societies. So that's why we need to cooperate.
Now, the president that you mentioned was Woodrow Wilson, correct?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Now, on this subject of foreign influence, I did notice this article about kosher sushi in Japan. So tell us about, we'll scroll down, kosher sushi. Now, is there a Jewish presence in Japan? A pretty big one?
Jewish presence in Japan? Oh, yeah. Well, I just saw the Chune Sugihara, but he's famous. But I don't know, the only time that we talk about the Jews is when we talk about, you know, saving the Jewish people or the people that talk about the Jewish conspiracy. And other than that, like normal people wouldn't talk about that.
Well, yeah, you have no interest in it. It has nothing to do with you, right? You're Japanese people. I just wondered, is there any, like, a Jewish-Japanese kind of mix at all? Does that exist in Japan that you know of?
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, okay. So
yeah, but my friends, though, my local friend here in Fukuoka Prefecture, he went to Israel and studied there, and he speaks the language and so on. Even though he's Christian, he has so much understanding of the Jewish culture or religion, and he is kind of spreading the thoughts here.
Oh, yeah. So Christianity, a lot of the Abrahamic religions. Yeah, it's very, very Judaic in nature. Yeah. And before that, you mentioned conspiracies. So there's people that talk about Jewish kind of conspiracies in Japan?
Yes, they are. Only a few people do, but it's like I just see several books in the store that talk about it, and but I don't know what to think about it because I don't know. I don't
Oh,
know
I'm
more.
surprised they haven't been censored, Now, what is a good source of news to go to? I know you mentioned the Japan Forward. They just did an interview with you. Because is your media really highly controlled like the West? It's basically just a few people that control all our media. Is it like that in Japan?
Yes, it's not as bad as the US maybe, but yeah, the majority of the media is very, very left, and the only one that's okay is the one called Sankei Shimbun, and the Japan Forward is actually basically the English version of Sankei Shimbun. So yeah, that's the only thing that we have.
Well, good. This has been fun just to get a little insight into Japan and pick your brain a little bit about what's happening there, kind of more in the current year. Was there anything else you wanted to share with us before we let you go?
I just wanna say that again, we are here. Like, Japan might seem like a closed nation, but we are fighting with the same enemies in the world. So I want people to know that, there are people like us that are fighting together.
Yeah, I think it's important that really nationalists from across the globe really be united against globalism and communism and leftism. It's going to take basically all of us uniting, like in the past, basically to fight off what's coming. So I think I'm glad that we've been able to touch base and connect. And you're our first Japanese guest, so it's great. Thanks so much. And be sure to tell everyone about your websites, your YouTube. What do you have going on?
I usually post videos on YouTube on Random Yoko 2, or that's the music page, but Random Yoko 2, or my Facebook page, or my Twitter. But you can just search for Random Yoko, and I'm almost on everything.
Yeah, we'll find it. Now, you mentioned you were going to a protest after this interview. So what's the protest about?
It's the massacre by the Chinese Communist Party.
Ah, okay. Is it like an anniversary or something? Ah, okay. It was today then.
I think so.
Well, Yoko, thank you so much. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Yes, please. Thank you so much for this.
I know this freaks a lot of people out, but I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna talk about Hitler. Many people don't know this, but Hitler bestowed the title Honorary Aryan to the Japanese people. In 1936, Hitler signed the Anti-Communist Pact between Germany and the Empire of Japan. He stated, "Pride in one's own race, and that does not imply contempt for other races, is also a normal and healthy sentiment. I have never regarded the Chinese or the Japanese as being inferior to ourselves. They belong to ancient civilizations, and I admit freely that their past history is superior to our own. They have the right to be proud of their past, just as we have the right to be proud of the civilization to which we belong. Indeed, I believe the more steadfast the Chinese and the Japanese remain in their pride of race, the easier I shall find it to get on with them." Yes, Hitler wanted to stop communism, and he was willing to join forces with anyone who would help. It was the right thing to do. And here we are today in need of another international pact of nationalists who are dedicated to fight globalism before it destroys everything beautiful and natural on the planet. If you want to hear a lot more on this subject, head on over to our extensive radio and video archives with over 1,000 shows. It's all at redice.tv or redicemembers.com for exclusive content. And to our members, I just want to say thank you. We couldn't do this without you. We truly, really appreciate your support. So a big thanks to all of you. Have a nice night. See you next time.